Coming up on TMS, we do a shout out.
How jazzy is your NES?
Arnold will smash his face.
This light. Swipe right for the same guy over and over.
I wrote Oronald.
Oronald.
Oronald. Pause the war if aliens come.
Samsung victory, factory. Victory? On fire.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hey, we're back, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM for Friday this time, the 10th of February, 2017.
That's right.
You can blame me for not having one yesterday because I had to bump it. I had something come up. I had to do it.
Yeah, things happen.
Yeah, but here we are doing it. We're doing a show. Right.
This is our plan B, Bob.
Yeah, Bob,
calm
down.
When we can't do a show, we do a plan B, which is do it at a later time.
If we can, we always do. And today is good to do it today because Current Geek has also moved to Saturday for one day only because our wives are coming on, Tom and I, our wives. Not Tom, my wife, and I. Whatever. Tom, his wife, me, my wife.
I'm going to recommend you find a different way to word it.
Eileen and Kim are coming on the show with Tom and I there.
That's good. That's much better.
It's our Valentine's traditional episode. So that's happening tomorrow night, 6 o'clock p.m. We'll stream it right here at Mountain Time. So watch for that. All right, Brian.
Yes.
How was your afternoon? Are you doing all right? Everything good over there?
Doing all right. A busy afternoon, although I did have to take 90 minutes out to watch the beauty that is Superman 4.
Ugh.
The quest for B-roll. The quest for peace.
Aren't you glad it's only 90 minutes?
It really, and it's funny because we've had 90-minute movies that still feel like they're 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
This one feels like it's the length of an Arrow episode.
Yeah, it's real weird.
just when I think, oh my God, they're still having problems. There's still going to be so much of this left. I look, it's like, oh, there's only 18 minutes left. Wow, they're gonna wrap this up tight quickly.
I liked your characterization of the quest for B-roll. There's way more B-roll used here than
so much B-roll.
It's really weird
and so poorly. My God, it's like the amount of money they put into those special effects.
Yep, we need 4 instances of something hitting the sun. Can we please just have one explosion that we can reuse
right,
every time?
But we'll use the same explosion. Exactly. Yeah, right.
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. Anyway, that's your update for FilmSack. We're doing that tomorrow. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to start things out this afternoon with a nice little thing here. Got an email from somebody from Damon Fabian. Great,
my favorite Ferengi.
Oh, isn't that great? David. Yeah, he was Grand Nagus for a while.
He was, yes.
He says, "Hi, Brian and Scott. My girlfriend of 8 years, Ashley Hawkins, just got offered a new job within the hospital we work for." They both work there, I guess. But unfortunately, she will primarily be taking phone calls. Boo, he says. She nearly didn't take the job, but not due to not being able to listen to music. Oh, because being sorry, did not take the job due to not being able to listen to music and podcasts, citing primarily the morning stream. There's your conundrum, right?
Yeah. Do I take a job or do I keep listening to TMS?
Do I help myself survive or do I listen to the show? I was wondering if you guys could give her a shout out on TMS in the next week or so. I'm doing it now. Since she will be starting the new job shortly. And after that, she's pretty distressed about it. I think hearing you guys wish her luck in the new position will be the boost she needs and will really cheer her up. Keep doing what you guys are doing. We'll be watching Necro Hunts on Twitch, also Damon in real life. All right, Damon. Ashley, listen up. It's okay. We'll still be there for you when you're not at work. All right?
That's right. That's right.
So go do this job. You'll love every second of it. You got, they're like doctors around, right? So you can tease them. I've seen plenty of doctor shows. I know what's up. And, you know, it's going to be a good time. Don't fret. It's all good. That's a great job. You should take it. I'm glad you did or am. And we're here piddling around making stupid stuff you can check out when you get home. It's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly. We record the show just for you. Just so that, you know, if you are working during the time we record it, you can listen at your leisure.
Yeah. Lots of people do that, so you'll be fine. You'll be totally fine. So Ashley Hawkins, good luck. Best of luck. It sounds like she starts next week. And Damon, that's very nice of you to be thinking of your of Ashley, of your girlfriend. Yes.
Now,
Ashley.
Now your next job, Damon, is not to go, oh my God, wait till you hear what they talked about on TMS today, or wait till you hear what happened. You got to be, you know, you got to be nice and be like, oh, well, I'm going to wait and listen to it with you. Instead of listening to it live myself, I'm going to listen to it with you.
Yeah, be subtle, as I used to say. Subtle. Right.
Subtle.
Subtle. And as my daughter used to say, what did she used to say? She used to have, this is how she used to talk when she was little. She'd say subtle. That was when she was a little older. But when she was younger, she'd say Chucky Jesus. I've told you about that before.
That's right. I love that one.
Yeah, Chucky Jesus. And then there was one that she said all the time, and I can't think of what it is now, so I guess I won't remember it. But hey, it's adorable. But what's more adorable is a boyfriend worried about his girlfriend. So chin up, Damon and Ashley. It's all good. Go get a pizza, listen to the show, and don't worry. Your job's going to be rad.
Exactly.
And you can page, you know what you can do? You can send little love pages to him. If you're on the phone and stuff, you could go, paging Dr. Damon, your rectal exam is tonight at 7, or whatever. Whatever you're going to do. You can tease him. You can give him a hard time. Like, take advantage of this, all right?
I think, do you think all hospitals are like the one on St. Elsewhere? Like, people can just goof around all day and...
Well, like I said, the only experience I have with hospitals is either television, be they comedy or drama.
Right.
And once in a while, I go in there for something. And that's it. Right. So I don't really know. I assume that they have more fun than I think they do, but maybe they
don't. I don't think they do. Well, I mean, I know they have a lot of fun there. My mom used to work at Denver Health here. Used to be Denver General Hospital. And so I'd actually go in with her and I'd get to play on the machine that makes ID cards. Mm. So it would be, it's like a stamper machine. You know how on your credit card, you've got the numbers and the words stamped all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It was a machine that would do that. You'd line up the numbers and letters you want on a little dial. And then you'd put a piece of plastic on it and it would go shunk and it would like push everything through. And so I was making cards that said whatever I want.
Oh,
and
I love that sounds awesome.
I just had to stay out of sight in her cubicle.
Yeah. You gotta get out of there. That's true. How about now I remember what Taylor said. You ready for the thing she said?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were upstairs having lunch, Kim and I, and we had some, I don't know why there was country on the Amazon Echo, but it played a song from the Dixie Chicks. And my daughter, when she was little, called them the Dipsy Chips.
Dipsy Chips?
The Dipsy Chips. Isn't that cute?
That is cute. That seems like something we should have taste tested on TMS.
Yeah, those weird, oh, have you heard about Japanese Dipsy Chips? Oh, they're so weird. Mm.
It's like bacon.
Yeah. Anyway.
They taste like that Teletubby.
There you go. The one with the hole in the head or whatever. Wait, what does the... What's? Oh, yeah, that's right. One of them had like a coat hanger head.
Yeah, one of them had a little triangle deal. Another one had a circle.
Yeah, like a little ring on top of a stock, right?
Yeah, all right. So Tinky Winky had had a ring on a stock, right?
Which one had like the penis-shaped one and everyone always teased it for it?
I think that was Dipsy.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember what Poe had.
Poe had a...
Or Lala. Maybe Lala had the...
oh, my Lord.
Tinky Winky, Dipsy, Lala, and Poe, right?
Yeah, and you got to understand, Brian and I had children when that show was huge.
Yeah.
So we know this only because of that, okay?
And you and I would probably sit there watching it with this incredulous look on our faces like, what were they smoking to come up with this stuff?
Yeah. Like, kids love it. Like, and I'll bet Tristan was just like Taylor just going, yeah! Like, I don't know why those shows are so compelling to kids, but to adults, it looks like everyone's smoking hash.
It really does. It's like, well, all right, we got four furries whose quest is for pink goo that comes out of a Slurpee machine.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're after.
Yeah. They should have called that show Rule 34 of the internet. That's what it should have been called.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Tell me about Jasna shirts.
Yeah, so I got to go to the screen printer today because they wanted to run some stuff by me that was coming up. So the shirts that we were doing, the Jazzness Kickstarter backer shirts that you supplied artwork for, they're a little bit lighter and softer than the usual Gildan shirts that that we do for Kickstarters.
Mm.
And because of that, doing the usual thing with screen printing where if you've got a colored shirt and your design is is multiple colors but some of which are lighter colors, you need to put down an overprint of white underneath and then put all of your other colors on top of that,
right?
And they said these lighter shirts are probably not going to do really well with that. So you might want to see how these things look just doing the base colors. Mm-hmm. So I went in there. I saw their big ass machine. Okay, this thing is really cool. It looks like, you know, the pods at the beginning of Alien where everybody's coming out of their stasis pods and it's like a ring of pods that all stick out from a central place. Mm-hmm. That's what the screen printer machine looks like. Oh, so
that's cool.
For some reason,
I picture somebody with the big spatula scraping it down the thing.
No, this is all, it's all automatic. And what they do is they have all the different colors on all of the top parts of those pods. Mm-hmm. They sink down on the shirts. They put shirts on all the bottom parts, the bottom tabs. And then the screen printy part comes down, squishes the ink with its own little mechanical spatula deal.
Yeah.
Then it goes back up. The top part stays put, and then the bottom part rotates one notch. So now the one that was getting red moved over to the blue, and the thing sinks down.
Is it pretty good with registration? Like it knows, it keeps itself pretty well aligned and doesn't
totally
shift color?
Totally well aligned. Yeah, those shirts aren't moving. And this year, and I'm so happy to say that this year we're doing something a little bit different with the shirts. Instead of having one big design on the front, we got a little chest design, and then the back is the big full color Scott artwork. Mm-hmm. I happen to be wearing one right now.
Oh, what? You're wearing this one now?
This is the front with the...
is it still wet?
It is not. It was warm when I pulled it out of the box. Like, I seriously picked it up. When I texted you and said, hey, we still doing TMS in half an hour? You texted back and said, yep. I was at the place picking up the box of shirts.
Oh, my gosh. Nice, warm shirts. So, well, turn around. Let's see the back of this thing.
I'll show you the back.
All right. Oh, look at that.
There's Scott's Mario right
there.
Yeah,
I made a little pixel Mario, you guys. Oh, that's great.
If you're a Kickstarter backer, you're going to get these. We'll have a few left after that, but not a ton. If there's a demand for it, though, I will do another run of these. I'll do a big... print run of these just for special pre-orders.
Do you get any big ones, like big 4Xers for the big fellas? You
got one of those? 1, 2, and 3Xers, but no 4Xers.
Yeah, those are rare.
XL, double XL, triple XL, but no 4. Sorry, no 4.
You have to go to them. They don't come to you for these shirts. You go to them with your shirts.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, exactly.
That's terrible. All right, well, excellent. And then there's photos on Twitter. People want to see these things, getting worked on and all that.
That's right.
Check it out.
I'm going to wear this around today. This is my shirt now. Mine.
Whoa. It will be even warmer by the end of the day.
It will, yes.
Hands off my shirt.
It was 75 degrees today in Colorado.
I know. What's going on? It was 65 here, although we got a cold wind coming in. I think the honeymoon's over. So I think it's about to get real
tomorrow. Cold. Snow's supposed to come in.
Yeah. It's a real shit show. Yeah. But it's okay. We are who we are. We do what we do. And we do the news.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Oh, there's nothing brought to you by the news, or news isn't brought to you by anyone. It turns out. It's just us talking.
The news just brings you nothing but joy.
That's right. So sit down and prepare for a limp, limp, limp. All right, let's see. I've got to find the right place. Here it is. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the news. You know his deal, right? He's a former bodybuilder, actor.
He wants me to move quickly to the helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says that I need to go with him if I'd like to stay alive.
Yeah, if you want to continue to live, you need to go with him.
And he always tells me that he'll be returning at some point.
Yeah. It's not always
at
those
some point
words.
I'll return.
It's not, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue the same, does it?
Please move slowly to the helicopter.
It's opposite day for Arnold. Yes, and please back slowly away from the helicopter. That's opposite day right there.
Arrivederci!
Oh my gosh. I need to hear some Dipsy Chips
something
now.
Like that. I don't know.
That's
does
pretty
he
good.
Stand up, dude? Does he make movies? Something? I don't know.
He still makes movies. Got a couple in the works. He was also the governor of California.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has some things to say about our new president, Donald Trump. The headline reads, Schwarzenegger on Trump, quote, "I wanted to smash his face."
Love that.
Former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, a Republican, isn't backing away from his feud with President Donald Trump, telling Men's Journal in an interview published Monday that he wanted to smash his face. Last month, Trump mocked the action film star's ratings as host of The Celebrity Apprentice, which have been well below those of the president when he hosted the NBC reality show. Should be noted that Trump is still a executive producer on that show.
Exactly. Whatever. Yeah.
It doesn't mean much, except it's notable. Anyway, right. I called my assistant and said, I think what we really should do is to request a meeting and go back to New York, Schwarzenegger said, pausing for emphasis, and then we should smash his face into the table. Now, I am...
You got to say that like you would say, and then we just smash his face into the table.
Into the table. Now, here's what I believe after reading that line. I'm starting to think we're getting punked because...
Oh, no. Do you think this is a publicity stunt to drum up ratings?
The guy who drums up more media attention than anyone in this world right now, Donald Trump, all he has to say is something mean about Schwarzenegger and start a Twitter feud with him to cause all sorts of stink, and everyone starts covering it and everybody starts watching it. I think it may be a fair theory that, especially because he is still executive producer on that show, one of a executive producer slots, that it is in his interest for Schwarzenegger to get the proper rating, to get good ratings. So I think a fake fight might do the trick, or they may think it'll do the trick.
Yeah.
Now, whether it does or not, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. My hope is that it's real.
Oh, I totally want it to be real, yeah.
I could see... Yeah, I mean, I could see a little publicity stunt like this, although...
Well, he says later in the article he had to take the high road, he says, and then I think... We can't do that either, he said. I have to be above all of that and put him on the spot. Don't get into a stinking contest with a skunk. All right.
Yeah. So I saw his little video reply was something like, why don't we change jobs?
I'll come run the country and you come do this. You're better at ratings or whatever. Yeah. He was, I just can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the kind of thing that could be drummed up, ginned up to seem like a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone freaks out about it, whether they believe it or not, and isn't that ultimately the thing, is you want to get some ratings? But is the show hasn't improved its ratings.
No, it hasn't. And they put it up against The Bachelor, which is one of the biggest powerhouses on TV right now.
Mm.
And in the last couple of weeks, Tune and I have been watching the train wreck known as The Bachelor.
How can you guys bring yourselves to watch that show?
Well, we've been seeing clips on Jimmy Kimmel of a character, and I'm saying a character. I know it's a reality show, but there's a character on there named Corinne.
Mm.
Not as sweet and wonderful
as Corinne,
as the Corinne we all know and love.
Yeah.
That manages, co-manages Nurtacular and all that stuff.
Right.
This Corinne is, I think she just might be like evil incarnate. She is, she is 23 years old. She has a nanny, but she doesn't have any children. The nanny is for her.
Oh my!
And
gosh.
She says that, the nanny makes her bed for her, cuts up her cucumber salad just the way she likes it. And she says, but it always makes her happy. And who am I to take away from somebody's happiness?
I want to, is it bad that I want to murder somebody based on her description?
Based purely on that. Yeah.
Now, how much of that do you think is writing and she's written in that way and edited that way? And how much of that do you think is really her?
I think they can do all the editing that they want, but they can't edit. It takes some real magic to assemble disparate comments into something that sounds this completely formed thought of having a nanny and needing all these things.
And you don't think she's just making stuff up?
She certainly could be. This could be her ploy to get her own show, to get her own Bravo reality show easily, right?
Yeah.
So you always have to suspect that the people who do these things on reality shows where they go right to being the villain are doing it because they want to be the next, Omarosa or I'm trying to think of an example where it worked.
Yeah.
We've had badasses on, Survivor before, but I can't think of any that have turned it into a career.
Like a budding career.
Yeah, like Johnny Fairplay, probably one of the biggest villains on Survivor, or the guy from Texas. I can't remember his name. None of them really turned it into anything else.
No, once in a while, the competitive ones, you don't see that happen where they turn it into something else. You do see it happen with
the Real Housewives and stuff.
Sure, but you know, the guys who run the pawn shop in Vegas for Pawn Stars or
right.
whatever, they become bigger than their
Duck
thing.
Dynasty. And
there you go. Guys mm-hmm. that fake putting on beards and a bunch of camo, they do really well.
Right. There's a good example.
Yeah, they do real well. And yeah, that's one of those things, folks. All right, moving on. Let's talk about a man.
Man.
He's a developer man. He makes apps.
Okay.
And he created a Tinder-like dating app where he is the only guy available in it.
Nice.
You have to kind of admire this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever use Tinder, you know what's going. Or sorry, you know going in that the odds are stacked against you. For starters, there is a ton of dudes on Tinder. Not only that, but
I like that you called it Twinder at the beginning. I think somebody is furiously writing a new app where it's only twins, dating twins.
Dating twins, right? Only you have to be a twin to date one of the twins?
Twins dating twins, correct,
yes. That sounds like a reality show for sure. It says, not only that, but European scientists recently studied the behavior of Tinder users and found that the majority of women only really ever swipe right for guys they're actually interested in. The men are much less picky and more likely to casually swipe right. So it's swiping right for yes, no for left, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Or swiping left for no. So if you're looking to Tinder to find a last second date for Valentine's Day, remember it's just 5 days away. You might be shit out of luck, says this article on Men's Health. Because they're edgy, because they're a men's magazine, so they're edgy. See, they can say shit.
Yes. Ooh, Men's Health.
Yeah, they really skirting the line there. That is until you follow the lead of one genius and develop your own Tinder-like dating app where the only guy available to date is you. Talk about narrowing your field.
Yeah, no kidding. So this is a lot like, did you ever see the show Casual? Oh, we have a guest on the show.
Oh,
my son Tristan is here, fresh from his second interview at Costco.
Costco!
Tristan, how did things go?
They went great. I've got to go in for orientation soon, most likely. Not today, but...
Okay, well, orientation is a good sign. They usually don't invite you for orientation if you don't get the job.
Did they hire him then? They hired him.
So you're hired, right? You have an orientation. They never said the words "you're hired."
No job's ever said that to me.
Oh, did they say like "you start Monday" or "how soon can you start"? Did they ask you that?
No, they just said you call when orientation is.
Okay, all right. Well, that's a good sign. All right, so they said we'll give you a call when orientation starts. So that's either the worst brush off ever in interview history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you get the job. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Be friendly and wave as people come into Costco and buy huge racks of cheddar cheese or whatever they
That's
do.
That's right. And you're not bringing home an air hockey table.
No, even though you get a good deal on it.
That's right. Or so, maybe you should. So the TV show Casual, I know it was one I recommended a long time ago. It's on Hulu.
It's based on some British show, or am I thinking of something else?
You're thinking of something else.
I'm thinking of Coupling. All right, anyway.
Yes. Yeah, this is, it's got Michaela Watkins, who was on Saturday Night Live for a hot minute. She was, she would always do the Ariana, she does a killer Ariana Huffington.
Oh, right. It. Yeah, she wasn't there very long.
No, and then the dude is the guy from, crud. He's been on a bunch of stuff. But anyway, it's about a brother and sister. He's more or less broken from, you know, from a bad dating issues. She's recently divorced. Mm-hmm. They had crummy parents, and so they're both kind of broken. But he creates his own dating app, and that's how he becomes so wealthy. He's got his own dating app that he created, but he adjusts the algorithm so that he's like 100% match for every woman in the app.
Same idea then.
Same idea, exactly.
Except he's taking an
There are other guys in the app.
Yeah, right.
But
he's the only one that becomes the perfect match. That's amazing.
Yes. So if you have, and that's a great show, by the way. You can binge watch the entire first and second season, and is really, really good.
It's called Casual.
Casual. Yep.
Okay, I'm in. I will check that out.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Bye. I miss that guy.
Yeah, I do too.
Actually, I don't, because it meant I had commercials and I don't have those anymore.
So right.
Right. Don't miss him at all. All right. Let's see. So anyway, he made that app. Here's a story about our time. We grew up in the 80s and mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev. Gorbachev and Reagan, those were names you heard all the time on the evening news. I'm Dan Rather and blah, 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 blah.
Well, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
I need a jelly bean.
Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev.
Who's the one that barfed at the Japanese dinner? Was that Reagan or oh no, Bush Senior. Oh,
that was Bush.
Yeah,
that Bush, was Senior. Bush Senior.
Yeah, Bush right? Senior barfed at a state dinner in Japan.
In Japan, I think. Right?
Yeah, like right there at the table.
Yes. Yeah.
So great, man. We had the best growing up time.
No more sushi.
I shouldn't have had the cuttlefish. Anyway, so Gorbachev and Reagan, those are names we heard a lot when we were growing up. And as it turns out, there was a little thing none of us knew about. At one point during the 1985 Geneva summit, this was a big deal back then. This was a huge dismantling of what would become the demise at the time anyway of the Cold War. We have sort of a weird new version of it now, but at the time it was a big deal. And President Ronald Reagan and Soviet Premier Mikhail, what's this red thing on my head, Gorbachev, took a break from negotiations to take a walk on their private intercepts. Sorry, no, interpreters.
Only their private interpreters.
Only their private interceptors. Sorry, interpreters were present. And for years, the details of what they talked about were kept secret from both the Russian and American public. But during the 2009 interview with Charlie Rose and Reagan's Secretary of State, George Shultz, heir to the Peanuts cartoon fortune, Gorbachev revealed that Reagan asked him point blank if they could set aside their differences in case the world was invaded by space aliens.
Nice.
I love this. He said it was at that summit. There was a walk nearby the cabin. I wasn't there, says Shultz. And he said, Shultz said before Gorbachev cut him off.
I have been watching American television show V and want to avoid the giant rat-eating lizard space people invasion.
It's too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
From the fireside house, President Reagan suddenly said to me, what would you do if the United States were suddenly attacked by someone from outer space? Would you help us? He said, I doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
I doubt about it. He said, we too, says Reagan. So that's interesting. Gorbachev said to him to much laughter. So apparently there was this deal. There was this handshake deal.
A little deal. Yeah.
It was like the Alliance and the Horde. If the Burning Legion ever came through a portal, they're going to stop fighting and take that then.
That's right. What I'm trying to think. I mean, this was 1985. So was V? When did V come out? There had to be something that came out that was a big enough deal that Gorbachev would have.
Well, how long did it take Russia to get movies from us? Like, if V came out in 82, would they get it by 85? Like,
yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I remember V, only the lady who ate the gerbil or whatever.
Yes. Badler. Laura Badler?
Yep. She unlocked her jaw and it went, wah. And it was that, and Freddy Krueger was one of the aliens, the nice alien.
Yes. Charles Edlund?
England. Dave England. Bill England.
Why am I not coming up with his name?
Dave England. England. It's something England. Jim Bob England. Hold on. Am I even close? Krueger.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. Here we go.
Played famously by
Robert England.
Robert England. So I was close. Bob England.
Yes. I was confusing with Edlard or whatever his name is, who was on ER for a while. Charles Edlard. Edlard.
Edlard, get in here. All right, there's that story. And then finally, the factory that made the Samsung Galaxy Note batteries that all caught on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, yeah.
The plant that makes them is now on fire. And I'm not kidding.
I love it.
It's a great story.
I hope that's sad. I hope nobody's hurt.
But yeah, me too, but it's, you know.
It's really funny.
It's pretty funny. It sounds like something straight out of The Onion, says this article on The Consumerist, but it's true. A factory in China that manufactured batteries for most of the now-defunct Samsung Galaxy Note 7 line of phones, all recalled due to their propensity for batteries to burst into flame, itself suffered a fire this morning. As Bloomberg reports, a fire broke out this morning at the giant plant in Samsung SDI Co. in Tianjin, China. However you say that. Samsung SDI was indeed one of the two battery suppliers for the Galaxy Note. It says that the minor fire did not affect production and that the fire was actually occurred at a waste depository and not in the production facility. Still, you can't get away from what this is. No matter how hard you try, you made the batteries. Now you're on fire. That's funny. That's freaking funny. They said it's not exactly uncommon. In fact, I was at a factory in 2001.
The Nike factory, right?
No, it was an electronics one, but it was that same trip. Same trip as that one. And there was a fire out in the yard, and I don't remember what was on fire, but they said, oh, it's normal. Sure, I believe you.
Yeah, I mean, this is the garbage, the waste depository, so it's all of the discarded Galaxy Note 7 batteries probably out there.
They were the same people that told me that I was eating strips of beef instead of dog tongue, so I don't know why I should believe anything they say.
It's supposed to be like that.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's app time. We got a couple of good recommendations for you fine folks at home, Twitter questions and more, so come back for that. Let's play independent music, if you would.
Sure. And this one is a good one to close out the week with, because it's a listener. It's a guy named Matt Hag. He is a robot disguised as a human. He was born in a scrapyard near Madison, Wisconsin, and was raised by synthesizers and cats. He lives on the internet at matthagmusic.com. And that's Hag with two A's, H-A-A-G. This is great. And this is his tune. This is tune Logic Error from the single of the same name. Big thanks to Matt Hag for sending this in. Here is Logic Error.
All right, we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned. Trippy dude. I like that a lot.
Kind of cool chord progression and vocals. Yeah, very Daft Punk.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah.
Talented listeners we have.
We do have talented listeners.
I would agree. All right, Brian, well, now's the
time. Hey, before we get to our next thing, this just in, courtesy of the Hollywood Reporter, the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel tested 100. Rarely do movies test at 100.
Guys, we now live in a universe where test audiences gave 100 to the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel, despite having a tiny little Groot baby in it. Okay, so that's number one.
That's right, yes.
And number two, John Wick 2 is currently enjoying an over 90% Rotten Tomatoes rating.
Oh, wow, really?
Which really thrills me because I loved the first one and was concerned that they couldn't capture lightning in a bottle twice.
Yeah, for sure.
But man, also, I saw a commercial for it. I didn't know Lawrence Fishburne was in that.
Oh, no way, really?
You're putting a little Matrix cast together there. You're gonna, is Trinity going to come flying out of a window at some point?
No kidding, right?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about both of those things. I'd go this weekend if I could. I have no time.
In this one, they don't kill John Wick's dog. They kill his tank.
Yeah, they kill his tank and then his
or
cat.
His dozer.
his doge. He kills his doge. All right, we're in it to win it. It's time for this right here. Check this out. This is for apps. Where's my phone? Oh, yeah.
App Slappy.
Brian's at a rave over there. This is great. All right, so what we do is we look at some apps that we've been using during the week. Brian and I are both avid users of app stores, and we like to just see what's new and what's hot, be it video games, utilities, ways of improving your life, whatever they may be. And today's no different. So let's get right to it. My pick is a video game. Big shock. I know.
Mm-hmm.
It is called OK Golf. OK Golf, everybody. Here, I'll see you show a little loading screen.
Okey
it's made dokey. By a company called Okie Dokie. And there's, see that little diorama looking thing?
Yes.
Well, imagine if those were all the golf courses. Each golf course was a small little, almost like paper diorama.
Oh, like a little square like that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's a little bigger than that, but here, I'll go to one that's you can see. So we'll go to Long County. I'm already on the 11th hole. I'm a hole of my own. That doesn't matter. I don't want to go to hole one. Hold on. This is, by the way, a pay-for app, so this isn't some nightmare.
$2.99, that's nothing.
Correct. And so here's an idea of what it looks like. Camera's going to zoom. Ooh, look at that. See?
Okay. Yeah.
See that? Now I can zip around this thing. It's all very nice and 3D. Oh,
it's beautiful.
It's
very
really,
like Lara Croft Go.
Yes.
Kind of blocky graphics.
That's a great way to look at it. Also, if you zoom in, the water's like super reflective. And I mean, it's actually super nice. Like actually really gorgeous game. And it's got real simple controls. You zoom around if you want to. Here, if you can hear the sound on this thing, it's just super peaceful. There's no, whoops, I shut my phone down. Hold on. Okay, here you go. Listen. See?
Oh, that's nice.
It's just I'm out golfing, see?
Yeah.
And there's birds and stuff, and there's no music, and it's just really peaceful and cool. And you just try to get the best you can. You know they got like a par, this is a par four course, or this is a par four hole, and you try to stay out of the pits and everything else you do when you're normally, you know, golfing.
So how are you hitting the ball? Is it like a flick, or do you have that little, like you used to have for the PGA Tour golf games where there was a little dial that went back and forth and you tapped right?
So here's what you do. I said I thought I was going to be one of those, but I was wrong. What you do is you grab the ball with a finger. Whoops. Mm-hmm. I screwed that up.
Hey-o.
You grab the ball with a finger, and then you can kind of aim around, and you'll see like a little line and a potential area of where it'll drop.
Okay.
And so I'll just do this. Whoops. Hold on. Oh, gosh dang it, Scott. Come on. There we go. All right, so we did okay there. I was in the rough. But anyway, and you just try to stay out of all... I mean, it's just golf. Like, it's straight-up golf. There's no goofy, weird twist to it or anything. You're just playing frickin' golf, but it's great!
And yeah, it sounds relaxing, and it looks like... it works for the iPad Pro, so nice big screen looking at these beautiful graphics. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
looking
telling
at
you.
Right now.
Have it on your phone, have it on your Pro, wherever you want to have it. It's there for you. And
nice.
I'm very, very impressed with it. So, again, that's OK Golf from a company called Okie Dokie. It's brand new. It's actually featured, I think, on Apple's Favorite Things. I don't believe it's on Android yet, but I would hope it would make itself there. Or it's way there. If it is already there, one of our Android people can tell us because I didn't look. I didn't bother to check it.
Cool.
So there's my pick. Brian, what do you got?
Well, so last year, Nintendo burst onto the scene with their first true total Nintendo iOS app. We can't count Pokemon Shuffle and Pokemon Go and all that stuff.
I knew this was it.
You knew. Yes, you had to know.
It's great, by the way.
Yeah. And their second foray into iOS is an adaptation of their 3DS games, the Fire Emblem series, with a new one called Fire Emblem Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, this is great. It's a blast. It's a turn-based role-playing game RPG with a crew of four heroes that you take out, and you can have like a spear user and a magic user and a bow and arrow user and an axe wielder, etc. And you're taking them across terrain against a set of bad guys that are also doing the same thing coming at you.
Sure.
And you got to kind of figure out the best way to move them across the battlefield to get to the other guys and attack and kill or be killed, sort of thing. Really, really good. And you know, it's Nintendo. They do a really good job with this, and it's super anime as crap. It is like, it is the most anime thing on my iPad right now.
Yeah, it's for me too. Very anime. I usually don't go for games like this, but I have played that series for a very long time, including, I mean, they made these games back on the DS as well. So the actually graphically, what you're looking at here is very reminiscent of the more 2D plane
totally
sort of thing of the old ones, whereas the newer ones on 3DS they're more like XCOM kind of.
Right. Okay. And Necrohunt says third game because Miitomo was their first one. It wasn't really a game as much as it was like a let's chat with each other via.
Yeah, if you want to say it was their third app. If you say third app, fine. If you say third game, no. There's no way that's a game. That thing was annoying.
Horrible.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, it's fine. I know what it was trying to do, but it was kind of half-assed. But yeah, Fire Emblem probably turns out anyway, one of the better uses of mobile for the platform. Like, mm-hmm, it's really, really, really good. And I don't feel like I'm being nickel and dimed. I feel like I'm just playing in the way that you're supposed to play one of these games. Like, I never feel... There are a million games that try to do this, right? Where it's, here are your five heroes and take them out in the world and let's fight with them and then level them up. So you do that all the time in other games, but most of them are like, you want to buy some gems to make them go fat? And like, it's constantly bugging you. This game doesn't do that.
No, not at all. No bugging at all. And sure, there's probably things... I haven't found them, but they're... Oh, I think you can buy character packs with real life money.
Yeah, there's
real
money. Life. You can spend money, but it's there's nothing about the gameplay that requires it. Yeah, it's really
very good.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Totally. And that's a great one to pick. I'd forgotten we hadn't talked about it before, or I might have picked it because in my head I was thinking it was older than that. But you're right.
Right. No, it came out right around the time we were doing the show last week, I think.
Yeah. Also, real quick, just get in, knock out a couple levels, get
totally,
out.
Totally. Yes.
Oh, that's good. This is what they should do. They should do this. Mm-hmm. If Nintendo's going to do well in this space, they got to just make great gameplay experiences. And fine if they're freemium, fine if they're other stuff, whatever. I've seen people in the chat room already complain the golf game costs money, and someone else complained that this one's free. It's like, well, you can't necessarily get it both ways, but if Nintendo makes good, valuable gameplay, I don't really care the model that's around it as long as it's compelling.
Mm-hmm. And totally.
And they've known to do that. And the minute I saw Marth, I went, oh, look, it's Marth. I played with him in the Super Smash Brothers before. His name is Marth, and he's a good guy. He fights.
Really?
He's in there.
I don't remember Marth. So he's one of the dudes,
one of your fighters. He was in, let me back this up. In this story, I think I've only, he talks to you at some point. Mm. Like when you, I don't know how fast you're skipping through the story bits, but when that big anime heads come up and they talk or whatever.
Yes.
He's one of them. So you get to talk to Marth. You get to be annoyed at Veronica, which is fun to screen cap those and send those to V.
Right.
It's really good. The game's great and people should play it. I agree. Free Ranger says the freemium aspect of Fire Emblem isn't too bad. I would agree. It's like not bad at all. It's actually, it's yet to have reared its head for me at all.
And keep in mind that, they're developers. They're actual people who develop these games. And so, the freemium model, the paying $2.99 for a game, what you're doing is you're paying these guys wages, and it's so easy to forget that. Like when you're buying games, it's like, no, man, apps should be free. They've always been free and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. If it costs you something, then, and you don't like it, well, by all means, don't pay them.
Right. Exactly.
But if it's something you think you're going to like, I mean, I know they don't really have return policies in either of these cases, but like Steam does, for example. Steam's great because if I find some indie thing and I want to support them, I can buy it. And if it's trash, I can get a refund.
Totally.
I think one day Apple may have to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Even if it just meant credit or something, which would be fine with me.
Apple
Space Points.
Dude, I'm already loving this golf thing.
It's great, right?
It is really good. I just got a birdie on hole number two.
I figured you'd like it.
Birdie!
Brian likes putting his birdie in the hole number two.
Oh, it's in the hole.
We're going to now talk about the this. What's the little thing we do? Where is it? Here it is. It's this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
That's right. Bird Goes Tweet, everybody. We're going to read your Twitter questions. These come to us via Twitter and the hashtag AskTMS. That's the hashtag AskTMS. You guys have sent your questions. I have compiled them, and I am now to read them. And here you go. Chad Willett asks, you're stuck on an island for a year. No internet. What video game, TV show, and food do you take? Ice skate will be provided.
All right, so video game, TV show, and food?
Yep, what food? And let's assume that these three things last the whole time you're there.
Sure, sure.
So what do you want?
Man, I'm thinking for TV show, I think I want to take Doctor Who because of the quantity of Doctor Who.
Yeah, you'll never run out, it feels like.
It feels like you'll never run out. Mm-hmm. But Lost might feel too on the nose.
Right, plus you're only, what, 6 seasons of that and you're
exactly,
done?
Exactly, yeah. I think you want something that's going to be a long-term season, mm-hmm. a long-term show. Video game. Boy, that's a good one, too.
I'll take MASH. For TV.
Oh, MASH for the TV show. That's a really good one, too.
Because it's long and it's highly rewatchable. And yeah, there's reasons that would work, I think. Yeah. I mean, there's really no good answer to this if you're stranded, but that's as close as I'm going to get. So, what would you do for video game?
Video game. Let's see. What I get, I would get constant. So, there's no internet. So, it can't be like World of Warcraft, is out there saying?
They didn't say, but let's assume it needs to be standalone, no servers or whatever. Okay. Because technically you could like message your friend in guild chat and go, dude, I'm in this island. You know,
I'm on an island. Yeah, right. Me. But then at least you'd never get bored because there's new content coming down.
All I have is Doctor Who in this game. Come get me.
Let's see. So a good standalone game.
It's hard, right? Especially today.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This answer would probably change for me depending on when you ask me.
Diablo wouldn't be a bad one because at least there's the variety that, you know,
the replayability.
The replayability. Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of go forever in that game.
Yeah.
That's what I would aim for, too. Games that I would never run out of. There's actually a newer game called Neon Chrome, which a lot of people haven't played, but I love.
Is that on Steam?
Steam, iOS, PlayStation, I think, has it.
Neon Chrome.
It's a dual stick shooter, but it's like this kind of roguelike where you gotta, you know, you die some, but then when you die, you take gold money back with you, and you spend those credits on upgrades, and so the next time you go out, you've got better stuff, and it's kind of rogue legacy like, sort of in that way.
Oh, I like the graphics. Wow.
It's awesome. It's a little dual stick shooter. It itches looks about like, 5 itches that I have.
Looks like Hotline Miami.
A little, but the gameplay's not like that. But it is very, it's like Blade Runner future. It's what it's supposed to be like. So it's like this top-down view, but everything is all like dystopic, huge mega city kind of thing. And it's awesome. I streamed some of it the other day. I don't know if anyone here was watching at the time, but it was great. I love that game. So I might pick that, partly because it's new and I'm still into it. But secondly, it's never the same and it's always randomly generated. So I'm always having fun regardless. So I think that's what I do.
That's a good choice.
What'd you do for the food? Yeah.
So can I choose like if I choose pizza, for example, mm-hmm. does that mean I can get different kinds of pizza?
I think it means
like I can get the meat feast or the
or the barbecue meat feast.
The barbecue meat feast. What was the ultimate chicken
one? What was the ultimate one? The
chicken flat.
What was the meat? What was the third one called? The meat something, not feast. It was something else. We found it when we were looking at that website. Ah.
Oh, the Americano.
No, it was something else. No, it had a name like meat monster, meat. It was another meat word, but it wasn't feast.
Huh.
Anyway.
The super meat boy.
That was it. Actually, that'd be a game you could take with. You'd probably kill yourself after a while, though.
Right. So I think if I had like, that'd be tough. I mean, I'd want to say, all right, Mexican food, but... And then just get a different thing of Mexican food every time.
I'm going to say, since they didn't specify, you can say that.
All right, I'm going to say that.
Mexican I'm going to say it too. I like Mexican food a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'd get that cup bop Korean barbecue over and
all. Oh, that's good too.
I might do that. Well done, Chad Willett. You really took us for a run on that one.
Yeah.
So let's see. Peter Fisher says, so the Samsung battery factory is on fire. What is happening at
ripped from today's headlines?
He says, what is happening at the Xbox 360 factory? Red lights everywhere. Everything is a red light.
Right. It's
at the Zune
people
factory.
People dancing. Yeah. red ring of death.
Exactly. No one goes anywhere in town except the red light district. Yeah. All the Zunes are red. Scott Lee says, you have one life-size statue of a Blizzard character of any of the franchises. Which would you choose and why? This is really hard.
This is really hard.
But I think I know, so I want to hear yours first.
Man, well, they're, you know, Thrall would be a, just because I've seen their life-size Thrall and it's really cool.
Yep.
Would be a good one. Their Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Would be really cool. Again, one that they already have. I think I'd want a big Widowmaker.
Okay. You could take her to the desert island. That'd be all right.
Exactly. Right.
I think I would do either... it would either be Artanis or Tassadar from the StarCraft universe. I love big Protoss guys. Mm-hmm. Like big, just like... We are one, you know, overwhelming. Just those guys are so cool. So I would probably, if I had to pick one, I'd pick Artanis.
That's a good one.
And then if I had a second pick, it might be the dirt and grass covered.
What's his name? The robot. Right.
Freaking, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? Scott. Scott, come on now.
BV-8.
No. It's Bastion. Not a Bastion. Damn it. Bastion all covered with like the golf turf and that.
Right,
and the bird.
The bird and everything. Yep.
That'd be awesome.
That's a great one.
But truth is, I'd take any of them. Like, it doesn't matter. If they said, here's a poopy one of a gnome from the game, I'd still take it. Because all that stuff is so badass.
Storm snout.
Yeah, I'd take Chen. Oh, I'd take Chen in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Chen would be cool.
Family.
Panda.
Yeah, he's great. Let's do one here from, let's see. Scott Lee's also said, we'll just skip this one. He says, you buy gold, I sell you gold. Sincerely, Steve Bannon. All right, moving on.
Okay.
Did you hear about that? Hear about Steve Bannon? That whole thing? Did you miss that story?
No, I saw a lot of tweets about that. I think even saw one of your tweets that he had a whole Warcraft thing.
Before, like 10 years ago, he funneled $60 million into a failed gold scamming site to sell World of Warcraft gold.
Nice.
If that doesn't tell you a few things, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. What do you know?
How weird. Here's Adam Moore. Says, would you rather eat a whole stick of butter or a whole bowl of mayonnaise? Because we've had a similar question about butter before, but never compared to a bowl of mayonnaise.
Whole stick of butter.
And Brian, those are both very thick and type liquid.
They are thick and liquid. I think I'd still do the butter. I think I'd just Ralph after, and sorry, Ralph, I know you're in the chat room, but I'd puke after like two spoonfuls of mayonnaise.
I love that we have to be careful not to say Ralph while Ralph is in the chat room.
You know, and really, Free Rangers brings up a good point. How big of a bowl? I know how big a stick of butter is, but I don't know how big the bowl is that the mayonnaise is in.
Yeah. No, I think I'm with you. I'm going the butter. Yeah. That's what Brian would do. That's Brian
Gagin. Every time you play that, I think it's the guy that was the burper guy. Uncontrollably having the hiccups.
Yeah, just for the record, here's Brian. All right. And then here's the burping man.
Man, it's like a tweeter and a woofer.
Yeah, totally. Together, you guys make a hell of a stereo system.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see. What's this one here? Okay, how about this one? Tim Johnson says, what is the most common backhanded compliment you guys get?
I love this show, though.
Yeah. That's too easy. That's totally true.
Yeah, backhanded compliment.
Because that's what that means, right? Like, ends up being negative, even though...
Right.
It's like a passive-aggressive compliment, basically, right?
Yeah, so. I don't know. Anyone who says something like... oh, look, it's Brian Ibbett, and they find a picture of a bald guy. That's not really even a four-handed compliment. It's just a...
I think that's a good one. Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of anything else. Usually people are, if they're mad, they're just straight up mad.
Musical Chemist Legacy Podcast. Yeah, that's it. That is the biggest, that is the most common backhanded compliment we get.
Especially lately. We get that one a lot.
Yes. That's a great one.
Nice one. Ralph says, Ralph's in the chat room. Hey, Ralph. Ralph says, you have a portal gun with one charge. You can make one blue or orange pair. Or I can make one blue and orange pair. So a single pairing, mm-hmm. blue and orange. Mm-hmm. What would we use it for?
Oh, man. And it would be permanent, right? Like, yeah, I could never use that portal to go anywhere, like, there every time I wanted to.
I guess that's true. Because if you never had another charge, you could never disengage either the blue or the orange.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. So just stay up permanently.
I know what you'd do. I know what you think.
I know what you think my answer is going to be.
Here's what Brian would do. Let me just paint a visual picture for you. Brian's going to go into his closet and he's going to make a blue portal. Okay. He's going to make a portal and then he's going to get on a plane and he's going to fly to Las Vegas. He's going to go to the MGM Grand and he's going to go to his room's closet and he's going to go put an orange one there. Done.
Yeah, no, I'd say, can I get a tour of the Sky Suites? I just want to see what the Sky Suites look like.
You know, the ones you never rent normally and no one's ever in? How about one of those?
Exactly, yes. Let me see the most expensive place that hardly anybody's ever in.
If they come in, you just go run through that portal.
That would be the most tempting. And I mean, I feel like I should say, my parents' house in Houston. And right. We could go back and forth anytime we want. Or... Right. My relatives in California or even like Disneyland or something like that. But yeah, you're probably right. It would be.
I know exactly what I would do, even though I would be tempted to do. I'd be tempted to do the thing you're talking about. Put one in France or put one in Hawaii or put one somewhere awesome. Right. So I could just go there anytime. But if I've only got the one chance and I want to maximize its impact on me and those around me.
Yeah.
I would put one way at the bottom of a three-story drop. In like a gymnasium or something.
Okay.
And then I would put the other one behind me here. So it's just, I remember your time in the game of Portal.
Yeah.
So what you'd do is the one with the three-story drop, you would jump into it, and you would have so much momentum dropping through three stories and going through it that the orange one on the wall behind you would launch you across that gymnasium into a big pile of foam squares or something.
That's what you would do?
Yeah, because then you could have so much fun with it, and everybody would have fun with it. And you would be like, oh, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to the Johnson's gym. They got this portal there where you can launch yourself into whatever. And you could always, like, I don't know, maybe the way to do this, Brian, is not in a stationary thing. Maybe what it is two... Oh. I got it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm taking two big boards the size of a giant door, or, you know, just a wall, like a piece of sheetrock. Blue portal, get another board, orange portal, and then I take them where I want them to be.
But you have to take them.
Yes, but only when you need to move them. So I can have the gymnasium three-story drop as long as I want to have it there set up. And then I'm like, you know what I feel like doing, guys? What? I'm going to drive one of these down to Vegas, and I'm going to stick one of these, you know, somewhere.
See? Why? Okay, so why don't you put one in your room there, put the other one on the bottom of a Southwest Airlines plane, right? Now, work with me here. You're never going to use that while the plane's up in the air.
Right.
But, you know, you look on your little flight tracker program and see, oh, that plane's in Orlando. Cool. Well, let's go to Orlando right now. And you pop out and you go to Orlando.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Because the plane, you just pick a plane.
Right, you just pick a plane. It's always going to be stuck on that plane.
But what if that plane gets retired or crashes and that plane's
gone? Then you're screwed. But, you know, you do a little homework and find the newest plane they've got. And maybe you put it in the bathroom or something so that...
They'll never see you come on there with that. That'll never happen.
You're never going to get through TSA with a portal gun.
No, that gun is too... Yeah, it's a big old beast. I really like this thought experiment. I'm thinking the two portable slats... They don't even have to be that big. They could be manhole-sized...
But the problem is that you have to go to the place you want to go and take the slab.
But you'd have to do that in the first place just to shoot the second portal anyway.
Just the first time.
Yeah, but then if you're tired of either your Vegas trip or my three-story drop in a gym, you can have an option. You can mail it to somebody. Say, all right, I'm FedExing this overnight, Bill. Make sure you watch for it because I need you to put that up at the top of the Empire State Building. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. So you just go and move it every once in a while.
Yeah, every few years or something. Yeah. You know?
Maybe you do it with a car or something, right? And then you know,
that's not bad.
As soon as you're bored with it, you take one last portal trip to where that car is. You drive it to the next place you want it to be.
Yeah.
And then you portal back home, and then you have a new place you can portal back and forth
to. Yeah. I just want to be able to have some fun with it, change my mind about it, move it someplace else. Because no matter where you put it, if it's permanent, you're going to get sick of it. So your plane one's not a bad idea. It just depends on so many other factors. Because that hole is always there and always a portal to you.
And
so
you don't have as much control over where that, you don't have any control over where that plane goes. And it could all of a sudden get, you know, it could crash. And then all of a sudden you're stuck. You're out of a portal hole.
Yeah, or an old lady who's trying to make her way to the bathroom. There's a little turbulence. She got jostled to the left, fell through the curtain where the portal's hidden, and falls right through to your living room. Boink, there she is. What are you going to do? Tape her up and send her back through? Like, I don't know.
Oh, could you? You could mail that. You could UPS ship that big plywood board that you're using to get around everywhere. You could,
ship that before. So FedEx it. You missed me saying that part. Yes, FedEx. FedEx is your answer. Call Bill at the Empire State Building. Remember?
Right. Or say, hey, let's. You know, with a car, you can't really get to Hawaii very easily.
No.
But you could ship. You could ship that plywood board to Hawaii.
Yeah. You freight it, and someone on the other end helps you out.
Perfect.
And then they can come to, hey, you want to come to Salt Lake in the summer, don't you? Yeah, I'd love that. Okay, here, you can use it too. And then just don't tell anyone. See?
You got to box it up, though.
it doesn't have to be that big. It can
like
be
moving
small.
It to the next place. You still have to fly back home. You have to ship it.
Yeah, but it only
you get
needs
your
to
get little tracking number and, you know, say, all right, sayonara. And then you have to get back on a plane, fly back home. But at least it'll be in the next place.
It only needs to be. Oh, and here's the other thing. It only needs to be. This drawing back behind me with Chewbacca on the rocking horse.
Right, it doesn't need to be big. Because you can go through it.
Yeah, I'll climb through it if I have to.
You don't have to go through lengthwise. You can go through it.
Yeah, and crawl out. Sure. Which would really be like me crawling up because it's probably the floor or somewhere else, right? And here's the thing. I could do it on that actual print and roll that up, and it's a roll in a tube now.
Right.
So I'm telling you, we've got this.
Yeah, I think you got it. I think you got it.
All right. That's how we're going to do it. Geez, Ralph. Nice one.
Well done, Ralph.
Final question from Mike Haley says, is TMS more TMI than anyone wants? Love the show, though. I don't know. Is it?
Wait, what was the question again?
Is TMS more TMI than anyone wants?
No.
How would we know what everyone wants anyway?
Right, exactly. And we don't care what you want.
Yeah. I could say all sorts of things like,
I have a wart on my left butt cheek.
That's right.
Itches.
I had to... I can't think of anything good. But yeah.
I think we've said stuff on the show that, that potentially in other circles would be TMI. But for you guys, it's like it just brings us closer as a community.
Yeah, brings us.
We share with the bad and the good.
That's right.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of TMS.
Ah, very nice. All right. Finally, Richard, I'll do this last one. Richard Carlson says, I've skipped the last 100 episodes of TMS. Did I miss anything important? Yeah, go listen to them all. They're great. You missed all the good times we had. So
right.
It's on you.
You find out why why people are shaving their heads if you missed the last 100 episodes.
Oh, my gosh. I love that portal conversation. If you liked it, then you might want to come back and be on the show with us Monday, because we'll be back here Monday. Patreon.com/TMS is a great place to support us. Look at it this way. We do 5 episodes a week. That's 20 episodes a month. If you gave us $5 a month at the $5 level, which is nothing per month, that gives you every episode for 25 measly cents a piece if you do the math. That's crazy cheap for what we do. It's insane what we've done to ourselves. So go take advantage of us. Patreon.com/TMS for everything else you need to know. Twitter, emails, links, all of it. Go to frogpants.com/TMS. Oh, and I always forget to remind people, video archives of this and all the podcasts on the network can be found at frogpants.com/video. It's all there. Every show that we record live, we have an archive of. Even FilmSack, which we don't record live, I put a video version up of, even though it's just a logo and some background stuff. But we still do it because there's some people that just want the YouTubes, and I get it. So if you want that, you're welcome to go get it. Frogpants.com/video. Brian, let's get out of here.
All right. Let's get out of here with a request. And Corey Davis, who goes by the name Davey Chorus, he is a geocacher extraordinaire, came through Denver with his wonderful family, and he has the only other 3D printed model of Brian that's out there. I printed two of them. One of them like is a small test, mm-hmm. little short one, and then I've got the other one that I hand painted. So he's got the only other one in existence.
Wow.
He knows, Scott, that you love the song Africa by Toto.
I do love it.
And he says, Scott seems to love this song, and I don't believe you've ever played this one or anything by this incredible trio, the Lounge Kittens. Au contraire, Davey Chorus. I have played the Lounge Kittens right here on TMS, and I can tell you what I played. I played the song...
Not that.
I played two of them. I played two from the Just the Tip album. one, the Andrew WK Party Hard cover and the I Don't Want to Miss a Thing cover at different times. But you know what? Hey, I love playing these guys. They're awesome. Picked a date completely random with no request. Just want to introduce you guys to the Lounge Kittens. Signed, Corey Davis. Happy to do it, man. This is great. This is from their album Sequins and Sea Bombs. Just came out last year. And is a fantastic rendition of Toto's Africa.
All right, we'll be back on Monday. Come on back now, everybody. You hear?
Some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man on the way, hoping to find some long forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had. Doves cry out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rains down in Africa. Gonna take some time to do the things we never had. Hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Away from your lips.